Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Today we've got a crazy revenge story that took place in a terrible relationship. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, girlfriend cheats on me with her ex, so I made her fail her finals. When I met Sally, 21-year-old female, at that frat party, I, 22-year-old male, really thought I found the one. She looked like everything I ever wanted in a woman, and I would have done anything for her. I wasn't even supposed to go to that party. It was my best friend Nicholas, 22-year-old male, who basically dragged me out of bed and forced me to the party. Till now, I still think about it. If I'd said no, I wouldn't have gone to that party. If I didn't go to that party, I wouldn't have met her. If I hadn't met her, we wouldn't have spent all that time together. I wouldn't have had the best 8 months of my life, which was promptly followed by years of pain and trauma. Was the 8 months worth the suffering I went through after? I still don't have an answer to that question. That fateful night, I had just returned from a 6-hour marathon study group with my friends. It was the beginning of the semester of my final year, and I wanted to get ahead of my lectures because I had a lot planned for the year. I got back to my apartment late, around 8 p.m., I think, and I went to bed immediately. But as soon as I got comfortable, my phone rang. It was Nicholas. Nicholas was that one friend everyone has who is so annoying that you start to ask yourself why you're friends with him. He's the meme-sending, party-loving, womanizing friend who's good company when you need to do something light and fun. But that night, I wasn't interested in doing something light and fun. My roommate had gone to his girlfriend's for the night, and I had the entire apartment to myself. I wasn't going to waste that opportunity. Nicholas called again and again, and eventually I couldn't take it anymore and I picked up. He asked me to come to a frat party. There are a lot of girls there. I refused and was about to hang up when a knock came on the living room door. I went to open it, and there Nicholas was, smiling sheepishly. We argued about the party for a time, and eventually he won and I decided to go. We got there 30 minutes later, and as is his usual practice, he disappeared into the crowd once he crossed the threshold of the house and left me to myself. I didn't recognize anyone at the party. And with Nicholas gone, I was by myself. I went to the balcony to wait out the party, or at least till Nicholas was ready to leave. As soon as I got there, I saw someone leaning at the edge of the balcony, drinking from a red cup. She probably heard me walk in because she turned around. Her eyes made me speechless. I wasn't a shy person on any other day. I didn't like talking to people, but I could if I wanted to. But that day, I felt tongue-tied. She was exquisite. Even the small smile she gave me made my throat go dry. It took me over a minute to form the words, "May I join you?" She laughed and said, "Sure." She introduced herself as Sally and asked why I wasn't at the party with everyone else. And I narrated how Nicholas dragged me to the party, only to abandon me as soon as I walked into the house. She laughed and said she had a similar experience with her friends. They were planning a blind date for her because she hadn't been in the dating scene for a long time, and so when they got to the party, they all disappeared. Her blind date didn't show up, so she decided to hang out on the balcony till she could get an Uber back to campus. I asked her why she hadn't dated in a while, and she said it was because she had a bad breakup with her previous boyfriend, and it messed with her self-esteem and she just wanted to be alone for a while. I asked what happened with her boyfriend, and she told me the story of how he cheated on her multiple times, manipulated and emotionally abused her for over 2 years before eventually breaking up with her. She said she even tried to reach out to him to take her back after he dumped her, but he blocked her everywhere and even restricted her from coming over to his apartment. I felt sorry for her. It was tough, loving someone and not having that love reciprocated. I hugged her and told her everything was going to be okay. She laughed and said it was a long time ago and that she's gotten over it. We talked some more until it was time to leave. Before she left, she gave me her number and said she'd like to hear from me again. I texted her the next day and we kept in touch. Soon enough, we were texting and FaceTiming every day. We became inseparable, and even though my better judgment told me not to pursue anything with her, I couldn't listen when she became all I could think about day and night. When I told Nicholas about her, he also warned me not to get close to her because she was, in his words, damaged. But But better judgment only worked when you could think logically. I couldn't at that point, so I asked her out on a date. We went to the movies and it was fun, and so I asked her out again, and again, and again. Eventually, we went from just friends to lovers. It was good at first. We spent every moment together. Even when we couldn't be together, we'd call and talk for hours till one of us fell asleep. One thing I liked about Sally was the fact that she was as academically oriented as I was. Even though she wasn't as smart as I was, she was always eager to learn and I was always eager to teach. When we first got together, her grades weren't good. She was barely passing a lot of her classes and she was in her final year, so she had to do way better to stand a chance at graduating. Because of this, most of the time we spent together was in making sure she understood her courses. I also made it my duty to remind her every day how beautiful, smart, funny, and overall likable she was. Her self-esteem took a big hit after her previous boyfriend, and I just wanted to play my part in building her up. It took a few months before she started to believe everything I told her, but when she did, she totally changed. She looked and dressed better, even her social skills improved drastically. It was beautiful to watch and totally fulfilling that I played a part in making her become better. During this time, she morphed back into her outgoing and extroverted self. She didn't like going to parties when I met her, but that changed. She invited me to every party and wanted to go everywhere with me, but being the introvert by choice, I declined most of her offers. One day, she got back from a party and told me she ran into her ex, Duke. Duke was the same guy who put her through hell. I actually thought he had graduated, but apparently he was also in his final year. She said he tried to talk to her, but she didn't let him. I was proud of her. But then, as the days and weeks went by, I noticed she was always on her phone. She was never on the phone for so long, except she was talking to me. But since we started dating, she'd practically moved in, so we don't text a lot anymore. One day, I asked her who she was texting, and she was hesitant to tell me at first. But when I pressed, she said she was talking to Duke. I was surprised because last she told me, he blocked her on all platforms. When I asked, she said he unblocked her a few weeks ago. I asked why he did that, and she said he only wanted to be friends again. He told her they were friends before they broke up, and he missed her. I was worried because I didn't believe in staying friends with your exes, and I told her about it, but she said it was fine and she always made sure to set boundaries in their conversations.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod.
I said okay, but it wasn't okay. Over the next few weeks, Sally started to grow more distant. She started to spend more time in her apartment than in my place like she used to. I asked her why, and she said she didn't want to grow too dependent on me. I knew this wasn't the reason, but whenever I confronted her about her growing distance, she started to take it as an avenue to start a fight. Eventually, I grew tired of it all and stopped fighting with her. One night, Nicholas came over to my place. I thought he came to drag me to a party he told me about some days ago, and I was ready to go on the defense. But instead, he gave me his phone and played me a video of Sally kissing Duke at the party. He scolded me for not listening to him when he told me that she was damaged goods. I can't tell you how much it broke my heart to see that Nicholas was right. I had tried to be the perfect boyfriend to her. I had helped her heal, but she repaid me by cheating on me with the guy that hurt her. The pain of that betrayal was overwhelming. I didn't want to see her again after that, but I had to be sure of what Nicholas showed me. So the next time she came to sleep over at my place, I made sure she was asleep before I picked up her phone and looked through her chats with Duke. And there it was. She'd been sending him photos, and he'd been manipulating her into thinking she wasn't cheating on me since he'd seen it all before. Then there was a conversation they had one day after she said she'd been studying with a group of friends. That was a lie too, and she'd gone to Duke's place and they slept together. Seeing her talk about it with him broke me. And I vowed that day not to trust another woman. I also decided that I was going to get my revenge. I didn't tell Sally what I'd found on her phone. Instead, I pretended that everything was okay. When our finals were drawing close, Sally relied on me for academic support like she used to. So I helped her make notes and highlighted parts for her to focus on. Only all the details in the notes were wrong. Every single thing. The formulas, the definitions, everything. I knew she wasn't going to check to confirm, and she just crammed everything like she used to. Then it was time to do the exams, and she used every wrong thing I taught of her. She came out of the final exam hall feeling very confident, and I broke up with her there. A few weeks later, when the results came out, I tasked Nicholas to find out how she did, and as expected, she failed every one of her courses. That left me with a deep sense of satisfaction because even if I couldn't get closure about why she cheated on me with Duke, at least she wouldn't be graduating like she'd been hoping all year, and that was good enough for me. Is it just me that's utterly sad to hear OP say, "I'm not going to be able to trust women anymore after this?" And also, not only did OP get revenge here, but if Duke had any plans of continuing on with this girl, he probably is not going to anymore. Considering they're probably leaving the college scene, the girlfriend's probably going to repeat the year, right? Duke's obviously just gonna go off to find the next girl he can manipulate. Also, hi. I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy crazy stories of revenge, it would be amazing if you left a like or left a review if you're listening to my podcast. That said, our next story is, I paid my brother back for threatening me with my academics. For as long as I can remember, my brother, male 20, and I, female 18, had always been rivals quite literally at every single thing while we were growing up. We both grew up in an extended family, but not overly extended, as my brother and I were quite literally the only children of my parents. However, due to the large nature of their family members, most of them had taken up residence in our home. And this was honestly one of the major triggers for what had happened between my brother and I. My brother, male 20, for as long as he could remember, was always the family's favorite, as he was already getting the firstborn son treatment, and also the single child treatment at the time, even though he was unaware of this. Every single member of our family loved him. They adored him and they wanted what was best for him. This was even the case still when I was born, as I was always faced with tough discriminations. Right after I was born, I guess you could say that this was when the rivalry truly began, as we had both begun fighting over things that were gotten for the both of us. For as long as I can remember, I can remember our first fight quite vividly, as this was the very moment where I had thought to myself that there truly was something going on between the both of us, and I wasn't willing to let up, not anytime soon. I would very much like to take you back to when we were in high school to go into proper details when I was just about getting into high school. At this time, you could say that I was somewhat of a genius to an extent. It would seem to have hubris if I were to toot my own horn, but then again, the one thing that truly certified my thoughts was the fact that my brother was the benchmark they had set for excellence in our family. As time after time after time, I was always ready to smash his record and break through the benchmark. But then again, knowing the kind of person my brother was at the time, he would most definitely not let up. Not one single bit. And this was actually what I needed, as the more he pushed me to attain greater heights, the more I did to him. And I thought this was just a friendly enough rivalry, and it was apparently healthy. Turns out, it was not. As to my brother at the time, this was almost a life or death situation, as he was fighting so hard to keep his place as the family's favorite, and he was not willing or ready to give up that position to me ever. One day, while I was having some personal time to myself, basically just reflecting what I'd been reading for the entire day and preparations for the forthcoming exams, he had walked right into my room, shut the door violently as we were the only ones at home, and I was totally confused as to what was going on at the time. And then he walked up to me to threaten me, saying that I should just respect myself and stay in my lane. He had begun making mention of some of the areas where I was beginning to excel and he wasn't. He made me know right then and there that things were not going to go well for me if I were to take his position, as he assumed it was his right, his actual birthright. I didn't know where this delusion had come from at the time, but the one thing I do know for a fact is that there was nothing humorous or funny about that situation, as I was quite literally shaking as he was speaking to me, all while laying threats. As he walked out of my room that day, I just knew right then and there that things were about to get real. Initially, I wasn't willing to humor him and his threats, but I had to, because honestly speaking, I don't want trouble for myself, let alone with my brother, and seeing as he was obviously the older one, I chose not to do anything, purely out of respect for him. And then when we were in our final year of high school, this was where things had officially started getting reality real quick. He was a year above me in grades, and this was just attributed to the fact that he was born a year before me. And also, he had already started school a whole year before me. Nothing was out of the ordinary here. However, the one thing that I truly understand was the problem, or was out of place, was when he had to repeat a whole extra year, as he had some outstanding courses he had not properly passed, and this had made him remain behind while his peers were already off to college. Things were not looking so good for either one of us. Things were not looking good for him, in the sense that he was definitely not happy about the fact that he was going to be in the same grade as his kid sister. And also the fact that he was never going to hear the end of things back at home. But the thing is, the whole situation was actually the fault of none other than himself, as he was busy partying around and having fun with friends while he was supposed to be serious and focusing more on his academics. Thing is, I had no idea things were going to be this bad for him, where he would have to stay one more year to properly complete high school, and I'd already made plans to complete my academic comeback, as I was intentionally limiting myself from getting the proper grades I knew I could get. And this was all because of the threat he had given me way back, when I'd just gotten into high school. And during my penultimate year, I decided to do the best I possibly could, as he would have no longer been within my reach anymore at the time. I thought wrong, apparently. When the news got home that he was going to stay back one more year to properly complete his education, everyone at home were furious. They didn't know what to say to him, but the one thing they made pretty clear was the fact that they were utterly disappointed in him. And this was one of the things that really hurt him. But then again, it
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It was no one else's fault but his. He had to live with the consequences of his actions. It's what's normal, and I'm pretty sure is what everyone would have expected. However, when my results came in, I had gotten distinction on quite literally every single class I had taken that session. And I was dubbed the best student of my grade, and also the best student in the school overall. And this even included those students that were in their final year. This news only brought more problems and issues than it was supposed to. In fact, it made matters all the more worse, both for my brother and for myself, but most especially my brother, as he was the one that had to bear the full brunt of the negatives, while I was on the opposite end, receiving much praise and adoration in his place. I just knew that things were not going to be okay. Not anytime soon. as I knew perfectly well that he had something in store for me, but I just didn't know what, as he was always keeping silent and to himself, which made him all the more scary than he already was. Right as school was about to resume, which would have been for me the final year in high school, my brother came into my room again, but I think that doesn't really quite depict what he did, but rather, he barged straight into my room and quickly shut the door. His actions were akin to law enforcement officers barging and breaking into a drug pen trying to bust the traffickers. I was already expecting the worst, and I didn't actually get that, but then I also didn't get the best too. So here's what happened. Right as he came in, he had begun questioning me as to why I went back on my words, and in the process made things harder for him than it had to be. I just stood there. I was silent. This was as a result of the fear I was suddenly feeling. After trying a number of times to talk and failing every single time, he finally spoke up and said what I expected him to say. He threatened me by saying that he would rain down different forms and manners of beating on me and basically abuse me in the event where I was going to refuse to help him out. He also made a point out of the fact that I was going to be opportuned to do so freely, seeing as we were both now in the same grade and all. He openly told me that he was no longer interested in school, but then for him to finally leave the house once and for all, he had to at least make it to college first and then he could drop out. I had no choice or say in the matter. I just nodded in agreement as he finally took his leave. I was scared at that moment. I didn't know what to do and I couldn't at the time go to our parents and tell them what was going on, or rather the situation of things at the time, so I decided to help him out, like he had threatened earlier. And so just like that, the new and final session had begun, and just as you would expect, he was never in class as he felt like he couldn't be in the same class as his kid sister, and so right after leaving home, every single day, he would always go somewhere else, a location unknown to me at the time, and while away in his time, I'm in school, in class, taking down notes, tests, and assignments for him. And the worst part of it all was the fact that I was still the one to do his assignments for him. This coupled with the ones I'd already had for myself, it was nothing but pure chaos. I thought I could handle everything, but it turns out that I couldn't. And after the first semester had passed, I noticed that my grades were dropping. Quite badly, of course, and I knew at the time that this was greatly going to affect my chances of getting into the college of my dreams. On scholarship, of course, because it wasn't in the country and I didn't want to burden my parents with such a huge task. I knew what I had to do to rectify this, but I was still skeptical about everything. And then all of a sudden, one very day, I soon had a total change of mind when he gave me the insult of my life, and almost the beating of my life too, after I'd spent the entirety of 2 nights working non-stop for his project, and because of his absence, he still wasn't given a grade. He blamed this on me, and he almost kept true to his words, but he held himself back. I was furious because I knew the amount of time and energy I spent on his work, and he just disregarded that and almost beat me. This was the straw that broke the horse's back. I wanted to stand up for myself. I wanted payback. And I knew just how to get that. Right after our second semester, I'd already gotten serious with my life, and it was evident as I'd gotten a response from a separate college, which was also on my college application list, accepting me as a student on scholarship, and I was already given a resumption date. After I'd gotten this, I knew the only thing left was to ruin everything he had left before finally escaping, and that's what I did. I not only ruined his chances of ever going to college by making him flunk every single class he was supposed to take, I also ruined his chances of ever going to college courtesy of our parents. Before he could have realized what I had done, I was already far away in college where he would never be. I'm just assuming this did not take place in the United States. It seems like the kind of home life culture that hopefully wouldn't exist, or at least is very, very, very uncommon. I mean, don't get me wrong, academics are important and parents care about that for their kids, but especially in this story, the sheer importance of like your life depends on your academics kind of hints at this not being the United States. I mean, just in general, I'm always happy to hear stories of people who want more for themselves, being able to claw themselves out of situations like that. Our next story is, never have I ever been in an abusive and toxic relationship as a man. I, male 30, have been in a not-so-healthy relationship with my partner, female 29, for as long as 7 years, if not longer, and the toxicity from this relationship was what made me lose my job and also lose custody of my children, because this was not something that I would have expected from someone I was ready and willing to spend the rest of my life with. But I guess at the end of every storm, there is always a silver lining, as at the end of my story, I was still able to come out of the whole married life saga, and this was something that I know for a fact was one of the things that truly got to her after we had ended things between us. Let me take you right to the very beginning of us, our relationship, and the genesis of things between the both of us, quite literally. I've always wanted to tell my story to someone, as it was something that I never imagined or even believed it'd be possible. I was always of the notion that the system is always pro-feminine, but then again, on that very day when she got what she deserved, I truly understood the supremacy of the law. The story of how I met my now ex-wife, let's call her Sandra for the story's purpose, is quite a very simple one actually, and a reuniting one at that too. Way back when I was very little, probably still a child back then, I could clearly remember that in the street that we used to live in, there was a neighbor of ours that usually came over to our place for several visits on the weekends, and they had this daughter that was quite literally my best friend in the entire world. She was the only person I had to play with at that time, and the only person that was actually willing to play with me. This was not supposed to be the case, in all honesty, but there was nothing I could do, as I wasn't regarded or seen as a friend by most of the children back in my school at the time, and I was usually kept at a distance by most of the children in my school back then. Anyways, Sandra and I were always together, playing and basically enjoying ourselves. This was until something quite unfortunate happened, which was the event where she lost both her parents in a terrible car accident, as they were both coming back home from their places of work and it was really late at night, so they decided to come back together, and they were so unfortunate that they came across a drunk driver who just so happened to be a truck driver. And after the crash, only her parents were the recorded fatalities. Sure, the drunk driver got what he deserved, but then she was left in shambles. And from what I can remember from way back, her caretaker at the time said to my parents that she was going to live with her grandparents down in Italy, and that she might never return. And I didn't know this at the time, but then all of a sudden, one day, I just stopped seeing her, and I was really heartbroken, as the one person I truly considered my friend was just, all of a sudden, nowhere to be found. But then again, it wasn't like I didn't have the reminder of my life to search for her, so I quickly got over it, along with the passage of time. Fast forward a bit to when I was in my second year of college, when I was truly feeling the full brunt of intense depression, which stemmed as a result of my overworking nature and my fully packed academic calendar. I just needed a break, and to get one, I just thought of meeting new friends. And after my friend and roommate had tried multiple times to get me to go out and actually meet new people, I just wasn't cut out for it, as I was quite the introvert at the time. And then he brought about another option, which was meeting people online. The moment he proposed this, I just knew right then and there that I was cut out for this, but the issue was that I didn't have a social life whatsoever, and this bothered me greatly. But then with his help, he set one up for next, and under a matter of minutes, I was ready to go. And after a not so thorough search on the platform, I came across a face that just had a nostalgic feeling to it. I knew right at that moment that this was someone I knew, and seeing as my friend circle was quite limited and short, it was very much easy to narrow who exactly that person was, after going through the profile, that is. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was finally meeting Sandra for the first time in forever, and on the platform, her name obviously wasn't Sandra, but then again, she was the same person that I knew way back when we were younger. At the time, I was just turning 20, which would have made it near 10 years since we had any form or manner of contact with each other. I immediately got in contact with her, and although she was initially not responding and being receptive, which was totally understandable, when she found out who I was, and the fact that I was the same person she knew, she instantly asked to meet up, as she had apparently been searching for me for quite some time now, and she was almost on the verge of losing all hope. And that we did. We met up the following week, as I was already motivated enough to get myself through that week at the time. Just the thought of reuniting with her was more than enough for me to be able to push through. Very soon, the day soon came where we were supposed to meet up, and I must say, she was quite literally the definition of stunning. She was just naturally exuding this energy that would make any man quite literally fall head over heels for her. And that was what happened to me. I fell head over heels for her. We hugged and found a spot where we could have a seat and catch up on everything that had been happening in our lives. And I must say, things haven't been easy for either one of us. To cut the long reunion story short, she was supposed to be in Italy studying, but then again, after the passing of her grandparents, she was apparently left with quite the fortune they had amassed. And this was more than enough for her to live out the rest of her life without having to do anything for the rest of her life. And she made it her aim to at least get a degree from the college of her choice. And this turned out to be the same college we were both in, where we found ourselves. After that very day, we talked to and with each other for hours on end, every single day for quite a very long time. So long, in fact, that it was quite literally hard for either one of us to have developed feelings for each other. And I guess in this instance, I was the one that developed feelings for her, and when I finally had the courage and the strength to voice out my feelings, she made a confession that she also found herself falling in love with me and having similar feelings with me. This was just perfect. There was nothing I would have wanted more than to hear her say what she said. It was at this time that I truly knew that she was the one for me. There was no need for me to even think about the whole thing extensively and thoroughly. I knew that she was the one that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And although this might seem like an impulsive thought, it was honestly how I felt about her, and I knew nothing was going to change that fact. I wasted no time in letting her know my intention for her, and obviously, with the amount of funds at her ready disposal, none of our plans were off limits. And so right after college, we officially got engaged, and in the span of 8 months, with majorly included plans and all, we finally got married. I could have never have imagined getting married to Sandra. This was basically a dream come true. I had thought that there would be no problems amongst ourselves, seeing as we both knew everything there was to know about each other. Oh boy, was I so wrong. In our second year of getting married, I was already having problems in my workplace, and this was due to my abusive superior, and whenever I came back, she would always welcome me with negative attitudes, such as, why wasn't I home earlier, or where I'd been all day, and this usually resulted in us getting into heated arguments over and over again. Initially, it didn't seem like a problem, but over time it became an issue, as we were never on the same page. We argued for nearly 3 months straight at one time, and then finally I got laid off at my place of work, and one would think she would have been supporting, but no. This was when she decided that she didn't. She would always grumble and complain at every single thing I did, and I never really understood why. Normally, I was expecting that all of this negative and toxic behavior would end when we finally had a child. But it got even worse, as even after 2 children, she was still the same. But at this time, she was no longer interested in retaining the sanctity and purity of our marriage, and she'd already begun going around to find other wealthy and influential men to lay around with, while she made me the woman of the house. This was quite literally the height of it all, the iceberg that pierced the Titanic, if you will. She had gone way beyond the line. And I was not planning on sitting down and letting her have her way anymore. And so one very day, while she was away, I took the kids away, which was quite literally a dumb move that I paid for by losing custody of them. But anyways, and I went on over to my parents, for the first time in 7 years after leaving their home for my marital home. And when she found out, she was furious. But then I simply told her to meet me in court, as I was already ready to file for divorce. She got so upset that she didn't fully realize the brevity of the divorce I had just suggested, and she openly agreed to it. We met in court in the following weeks, and after quite a lot of back and forth argument on the custody of the child, it was decided that I was going to keep our first child, my daughter, as she was going to be in custody of our son. And at this time, we thought that this was over, but then when the alimony and child support fees hit her, she almost fell to the ground, as she could have never have imagined that I would be taking quite literally half of everything she owned. And she was still to be paying child support for as long as possible. Seeing the look of disbelief on her face was everything I needed to feel good about myself once again. And ever since then, although we haven't been on good terms and speaking terms, I know I triumphed. So is OP essentially saying, hey, I know our relationship fell apart, I know she's sleeping with other wealthy, influential men, I know I lost custody of both of my kids, but hey, I took half of her stuff. To be honest, I don't really know if this is as much of a flex as OP's trying to make it out to be. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely crazy revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.